Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke with Let's Talk Art. Today I'm talking art with Jane Boutwell. She's an Atlanta-based artist. She paints, she sculpts, she crafts, she does it all. Her new collection, Signs of Life, delves into the dirt and smudge that can be a part of our daily existence. We can use this as an excuse to quit. We can use this as a means to slay our dragons. Enjoy. Hey, Jane.
Hey.
Hey, this is Brooke Musterman. How are you doing?
Good. So good to hear from you.
Oh, great talking to you, too. I love your work. I've been just enjoying it, like, ever since we talked, ever since I've been introduced to it.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
So how's your day going?
Oh, it's been good. It's been busy. Mm-hmm. I've got four kids at home and a newly hired business assistant.
Oh.
Cooking away.
Neat. Very cool. So the kids being at home, does that affect your art working schedule?
Well, they've been at home most of the time, at least had one child at home forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like I read somewhere that creative people thrive with chaos.
Yeah.
Kind of creates more creativity, and I kind of chuckle to myself that I must have had that inner sense, and that's why I had four kids.
Four kids, wow. So,
they're all very creative in different ways, and my youngest, who just turned four, loves to sit next to me and get her hands in my clay or wants to paint when I'm painting. So it's hard for me to do my painting if she's painting. Mm-hmm. So I have to – that's a lot of times the pottery we can do together, but the painting,
not so much.
That's when I take care of myself and get a break. My husband has been real sweet to notice sometimes, oh, you really kind of, you just need to get down to the basement studio, don't you? It's been a little while.
A little fussy. That's really cool.
And you go do what you need to do.
So. That's cool that he can recognize that.
Yes. So thankful for that. But it really is. While the kids were younger, I was doing things like quilting and knitting, not fine art, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But I always have needed to create in order to be well. And so it's something that I've made happen. And then it's been really great these past several years as I've really come back and brought those sorts of things that I learned and grew in, the textile and those kind of varieties of mediums, and I brought them into the fine art that I had done before when the kids were – before I had kids. And
right.
So it's been really neat to finally kind of see this marriage of that variety of stuff coming together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really neat. And that's so cool that you found a way to do it. I mean, I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, well, necessity is the mother of invention. So, yeah, having newborn babies and having your hands covered in clay or oil paint just doesn't really work. Needle and thread or knitting needles, those are things you can pick up and drop, and they aren't toxic to be around, so it worked really well with the early years of parenting, and I'm glad to be back with my hands in clay and paint again.
Yeah. So you paint and you sculpt?
I do, yes. I've always had a really hard time just sticking with one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been something I felt kind of like, oh, why couldn't I just specialize and be really, really good at one thing? But yes, I finally feel like I'm at a point where I've been spending enough time on all the variety things, they're starting to intermingle. And what I know and love from one medium is jumping over and making more of a party in the other one. And it's nice to be at a place where it doesn't feel like a lot of disparate things, but it feels like kind of like a symphony.
Right. Oh, yeah. I think that's perfect. I think that's amazing.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
So how did you discover that you were artistic, that you liked doing this kind of stuff? Have you just always done it?
Yes. That is something I have always known. I know I've heard of other people and their kind of artistic journey. It's been hard to get to a place where they could say, I'm an artist, but that's always what I knew I was. I would make mud pies and decorate them with flowers from the yard. I would paint. I would have a picture of my mother's makeup all over my face. I would get her fingernail polish and decorate her purses. And she was a great child to her.
I'm sure she loved that.
Yes, and now my daughter is similar. My youngest is especially into the tactile art, so she will paint with toothpaste and eat the chocolate out of her granola bar and paint with the chocolate. So it's coming down. But yes, I've always loved just self-expression and beauty and using my hands. My father hoped that I would do graphic design as it seemed more marketable, but I just need to be touching materials and interacting with hands-on kind of things.
Right. That makes sense. I did graphic design for a while, and it's very different than art. It's lumped in with art, but it's very different.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you have the design concepts of using color and line and shape and value, but that your experience day to day of sitting and staring at a screen versus interacting with the limitations and parameters of material objects.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different set of things. And even I think what I love about painting and the pottery and ceramics, I remember our sculpture professor talking about how sculpture utilizes different intelligences. It uses kinetic and spatial intelligence in a way that the painting doesn't. And so I love dance, and I feel like it kind of pulls in that part of just my brain and how I interact with the world when there's something with dimension. So that is, I've got someone trying to find me in my quiet spot. Oh, no. Found out. But anyway, so it's a different, but really satisfying to have the different types of ways to express yourself. Mm-hmm. Some things are more, fit better with a certain thing. And I think one thing that I love about the sculpture and the ceramics and the quilt making is the way you interact with it and live with it and use it. The fact that it at least technically has a function. Mm-hmm. And I always loved Eastern art, like in Asia and China, they have the tea ceremony and they have, the Persian rugs, and you have like just art and beauty that was lived with and interacted with and used day to day. And I love that idea. And, but then also making beautiful pictures on people's walls is something great too.
Right. But there's something about a functionality of it that you can just kind of like, that beauty can be everywhere. Beauty can be like just, a cup or just a spoon or, something that you use every day. And I totally love that. That's
My mother would say a thing of beauty is a joy forever. So I always have that kind of echoing in my mind. And I feel like it can be a battle sometimes to really value beauty.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes it's easy to think, that's just vanity. It's just, it shouldn't matter what something looks like.
Right.
Is it really important, or is it just kind of the fluffy outsides? And that's been really the journey I've been on the past year or two. Really coming to see that beauty has an incredible healing power. And it's not just kind of that vain beauty, but when you have a really honest beauty that has room for mistakes and authenticity, it's almost a gritty beauty that's not just perfect beauty, but a beauty that just feels real. You know, I think there's just so much power in those kinds of objects.
Oh, yeah.
Or things. And so that's been my journey of really kind of coming to embrace that, instead of having this kind of mixed feeling about beauty and my love for it and my desire to create it. And yet, and I think in art school too, I think that there was this, you kind of look down on by professors if you just made pretty art. You know, it's like, well, yeah, it looks pretty, but what does it mean?
Right.
Is it something that could only have been made in 2020? You know?
Right.
There is this pressure to make things that were avant-garde and, just not necessarily, like, if you made something that was beautiful, it almost wasn't, just it wasn't important. Yeah, it wasn't as, I don't know. It's like it didn't have anything important to say if it was just beautiful.
Right.
But I think what I've come to see is it's not just beautiful. If you have something that's truly, honestly beautiful, mm-hmm. there is so much power for that. And people need more of that in their life. And it's a worthy cause. It's not this kind of fluff. So.
No, I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. So you have a new collection called Signs of Life, which I've been looking at, and I love it. They're works on paper.
Mm-hmm.
And so talk about some of your inspiration behind that, because that's awesome.
Yeah, what's amazing is how apropos the collection is to when it got launched during the middle of this pandemic, and everybody's losing things and having something to kind of grieve the loss of.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started it, we knew nothing about that.
Right.
I'm very tied to the seasons. And so being in the winter and looking towards spring, and I'm looking at the ground for any little sprigs, the very first sprouts of life coming up, the little fiddle heads that just start to show up as a knot, and then you watch them slowly unfurl. And and I was just thinking about how that's so similar to the beginnings of feeling alive again after you've really been grieving something. And another thing I've been learning is just the importance of grief and not just stuffing that down, but of processing it. And so in that collection, I also have some mushrooms, fungus, and thinking about how the mushrooms are what metabolize things in the soil to make the soil, to break things down and make rich soil for growth. And so just thinking about how when we have grief, we will take the time to really grieve that loss and mourn instead of just trying to stuff and numb and distract ourselves. It's like that mushroom. We're breaking these things down and giving ourselves a place to grow from, giving ourselves something that nourishes our lives. And it's counterintuitive. We just, as humans, automatically try to stay far from pain, not sit in it, not really feel it. But I've always had a real strong interest in psychology and therapy and healing and stuff too. So it's a cross between both interests for me with this collection.
Right.
And so there's a lot of that symbolism in there. And then just having hope again, beginning to grieve and see that there is brokenness, but there's beauty too.
Right.
There's life too. And getting down and looking in the soil, I've got little bits of gold flecks and gold leaf in the dirt on those pieces that just symbolize, you know, the treasures that can be found when you take a while to sit with your stories of pain in your life. Sometimes there's more to be learned there than you know.
Yeah.
If you take time to go through it, you might find some real treasures.
Absolutely.
Some new things to learn about yourself. So it's an invitation to that.
Yeah. And I was noticing on your website that not only are you a fantastic painter, but you are also an awesome writer.
It's been neat to get some feedback about that. I really never pictured myself as such, but when you are running your own business and you're speaking for yourself and representing yourself,
you gotta do it.
You find, you know, there's lots of tones to write. And it's funny though, because there is this kind of conflict as an artist. There's this idea that, I want my work to speak for itself, and I want people to know everything I want to communicate just through that. And if I then write about it and tell all the things behind it too, is it because the art isn't good enough to say it on its own? But I think there is an art to words, and I think a lot of people get intimidated by art and don't know what they're supposed to think about
absolutely.
It. And it's helpful to teach people and guide people.
Leave some cues.
Share what's behind it so they can learn, that there's freedom to look and see what they discover when they look at it. I'm working on a little ebook that kind of guides people through learning to look at art.
Oh, neat.
What can you learn from it? Yeah.
Very
that was
cool.
What we were working on this morning, actually. So
very cool.
Stay tuned.
Very cool. Yeah, that's kind of what this podcast is about. I kind of wanted to, because I realized that, I found myself in an art gallery, and I enjoy art. I appreciate art, and I've gone to galleries and stuff. And so, but I found myself, like, I don't really know what to do. Should I talk to them? Do I ask them questions? What do I do? And I'm like, because I would like to find out more about these paintings, but I just don't. I mean, but then I figured if I feel that way, then lots of other people have to feel that way too. And what I realized is that people just don't know what to think or, you know, how to really interpret art. And when they do, it's so rewarding.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that you feel that way. I do too, but I have had very conflicted feelings about the art world in general. I mean, I got my art degree and then I did not pursue the gallery scene or anything at the time because it felt very unapproachable. And
yeah,
even as an artist with an art degree. So right. I'm sure that there's, you know, with people that don't have an art degree, there's a lot of kind I don't know, this is intimidating. What do I do with this?
Yeah.
I feel drawn to art. I feel like I want to have it as a part of my life, but I don't really know what to do. It feels like there should be a right way. And I think it's freeing when you start to realize, at least for me as an artist, I would invite people to engage with what I make and find out what it says for them. There's not a right or wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, it's what can this piece, what do I feel about it? And why am I feeling that way? Right. I get a chance to kind of question my own inner responses. And that's a totally valid place to be. I would be so honored if people would engage with my art in that way and not, you know, there's not a right or wrong. It's just kind of, what does it bring up for you?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, I totally agree. I was watching your Facebook Live video about, and you were talking about your collection but I just kind of narrowed in on you. It was like, you were talking about slaying dragons because your shirt had slaying dragons and you were saying your dragons were all internal. So I kind of latched onto that. So I wanted to talk about that.
Yes. Oh my. just a lot of, I actually started coming back to my fine art, the painting, and a couple of years ago when I was seeing a counselor for a child, kind of just stuff going on with that, and then dealing with my own kind of frustration built up about different things. And he said, he had got to know me, you know, through one session. He's like, you need to be painting. If I could write your prescription, it would be for painting. You need to be expressing, and gardening and quilting is not expressive enough. And
that's so awesome.
I was like, well, that's got a lot less side effects.
Exactly.
And actually, I've been daydreaming about if only I could just be a full-time artist.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm going to do it. But then I was miserable because I just was so critical of everything that I made, and I had such a tension between what I felt like I wanted to do, but what I felt like was good art, and this kind of box that I felt like I needed to be in from voices I'd heard from professors or parents. You just build up this reservoir of voices in your head that I feel like I've been reading through the War of Art, and he talks about resistance. Anytime we do anything that's going to bring more order to our life or more creativity or more tone to our abdominal muscles. I love that he said that. We will meet with immense resistance. And I just think that we all have stories in our life where we, you know, kind of heard these lies about ourselves that stick with us and give us this critical voice. And so, so I was kind of getting reacquainted with the medium and trying to give myself grace as I just found my way again and rediscovered what would work at this time in my life with my set of parameters. And yet, oh my goodness, I just was so critical and miserable and having this internal battle every time and fear. And finally realized that in order to make the art that I need to make, I'd done an art class and gone on an art workshop, and those were great. But what I realized I really needed to do was do some kind of personal work. And so I did something called a story workshop where you write a childhood story and do small group time, and there's large group teaching. It's through the Allender Center. And it was the most impactful weekend of my life, probably.
Oh, that's awesome.
Where just kind of looking back into my story and seeing where I picked up this message, you know, a message, there's lots of stories, but picking one in particular and just seeing, going back in and looking at with fresh eyes and seeing that there was more to the story, and that, I don't know, it just really kind of released me from some of that, the voices in my head that were telling me that what I was doing was stupid and didn't matter and I couldn't do it right. And gave me a lot of freedom from that. And anyway, it's hard to take an experience like that and put it into words quickly. But I just prompted this real healing journey that I've been on. And so, and that definitely inspired the collection that I did, just of going back into my childhood stories and with humility, kind of allowing myself to grieve what the five-year-old me felt at the time. It's easy to look at things and say, oh, it didn't really matter, because as an adult, it doesn't.
But right.
Having the humility to look at it as a five-year-old and grieve and see the effects for the rest of my life that I've been kind of bound to that negative voice or whatever, the negative belief that I latched onto then. And and that's just slowly been kind of dismantling a lot of those beliefs and giving me so much more freedom to do what I was made to do, to create beauty and to live into this, this calling that I feel like I have as an artist. So
that's awesome. That is really well said.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's been an amazing journey, and it's exciting to feel like I'm getting more and more kind of free to do what I need to do and see where it leads.
And I think it's, I think it's so great that I don't want this to sound the wrong way, but I mean, I'm kind of glad to hear that you're saying this, because that you experienced this, because I mean, because everyone does, and cause I certainly do. And I went through an experience just recently, and I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that's like exactly, it's kind of exactly, well, not, it's different, but it's, I was just kind of, that's kind of exactly like what I was going through. And I felt like I was alone. I was like, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And that's such validation.
No, I think we all have this. We all have these stories, and they're all like, just set boundaries. And I mean, one of the things that the teacher said at this retreat was, you'll find that I'll get it wrong, but something about your places of deepest harm and hurt are also the places of your greatest calling and strength. And your greatest strengths are your greatest weaknesses too. And so it's hard to really grow in your areas of strengths without coming face to face with the hard stuff, the grief, the trauma kind of stuff that comes along with that and working through it. And we've also dealt with addiction struggles in my close group. And so I've been on that journey of learning more about addiction and recovery and what that looks like. And just realizing that we all have various, addiction is just one way to numb because we've had too much pain and we don't know what to do with it.
Right.
And learning, you know, that the journey of recovery is just learning to say, I can't control it all. But I'm going to slowly take these things one day at a time and actually face them and grieve them and learn how to deal with it instead of just pushing it all away and trying to numb it with substance or Netflix or whatever.
Right. Right.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
So.
And I love it. You have one quote that I kind of latched onto on your website. Storms may come, let the rain fall, trust the process, watch for sparkles. And I think that's so deep. I just think it's so true. And I think it's so against everything that everyone else says, like just kind of like avoid trouble and, you know, just kind of get away from it. But you're encouraging people to get deep into it and just kind of like get messy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so the t-shirt that I had on in that Facebook Live that said, Slay Dragons or something, it was made by Andy J. Pizza of the Creative Pep Talk podcast, which I just love, 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 and highly recommend. But he had an episode that was talking about how, I think it was talking about, I can't remember the TV show because I don't watch TV. That's how I have time for art. But it was, the TV show is a reality show where they're brothers or people on an island and they're trying to dig for treasure. And they're like, the closer they get to the treasure, the more kind of booby traps and the more things get in. And I just feel like the battle lines are drawn at the places that matter. And so the hard stuff is all around the things that are also the most beautiful too.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like sit in the rain because you're going to find the sparkles there too. Like it's stormy, it's cloudy, you're going to get wet, but there's also sparkles there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you either have a choice to live fully and and more alive and be more alive and open to the pain of this brokenness that there is in this world, mm-hmm. but also more alive to the beauty. Mm-hmm. The only other choice is to be numb to both.
Right. Right. Oh, that is so great. That is so great. So now you were telling me about this creative growth fellowship that you're doing. What's that about?
So that is in its very seed stage. I heard somebody talking about, I love to make art, but as much as that, if not more, I love to draw other people into creativity mm-hmm. and invite other people in and share that process with them and see other people do creative things. So anyway, I heard somebody talking about membership, running a membership-based business. And this is as I was launching my own art business. So mm-hmm. I don't know why I need to do multiple things at once, but really, really clicked with me that that's the perfect modality for really helping people live a creative life. So much of it is building habits. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, it's a little bit at a time, and it's building a community around you that are doing the same thing. And so there will be a private Facebook community of people on the same journey. And I just kind of try to think of all the roadblocks that people have, like getting overwhelmed at the store when you buy art supplies. So mm-hmm. every other month, I'll send a couple of really finely selected a few things that I feel like are really great to have. And then I'll have some tutorial videos of how to use them. I'm going to have interviews with other people who are creative, poet, photographer, songwriter, people who are having creative habits in a variety of mediums mm-hmm. And just help people really start this journey of learning how to keep a sketchbook and journal through mm-hmm. things and try to get kind of figure out where the roots of their inner critic are and learn mm-hmm. how to just live more creatively. So I'm really excited about it. We're planning to do a founding member launch the end of August mm-hmm. and then we'll launch and then we'll close up and just focus on helping that group of members make progress and getting the membership to kind of really fit what people need and get responses from them, and then hoping in December, when people are asking for Christmas presents, they can ask to become a part of this membership.
Yeah.
So I've got an assistant now, and she's helping me with some of the technical stuff that can really slow me down.
Yeah.
We're really excited about it.
So now you're in Atlanta, right?
Yes.
But is this like a Atlanta only group, or is it like all over?
No. It could be anywhere in the U.S. because it will be and really works perfectly as the pandemic still rages on.
That's true.
And people are less likely to go to art classes and meet in person. It'll mm-hmm. be all online, and then shipping every other month, shipping a box of a few goodies to you.
Uh-huh.
So, I think it would be hard for me at this point to ship outside the U.S., but mm-hmm. so, yeah, it's wide open.
Oh, that is really cool. I love that. And I'm very frustrated about this pandemic thing because it's keeping me from doing things. But at the same time, I kind of like having like everything now catered to like where you don't have to go anywhere. So there's part of me that does like that. But I think this is super cool.
Yeah, as soon as I found out they were canceling school and I wouldn't have carpool, most people were running to the grocery store. I made a beeline to the art supply store and bought big canvases and more paint.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, oh, my word, I won't be driving carpool all the time. I have time to do stuff. So, I hear you. I hear you. There are pros and cons to having a switch up in our lifestyle. But one of the pros that I think is just having this spring, I just feel like there were so many more people outside and people starting to really connect the stress relief mm-hmm. that nature brings. Mm-hmm. So that's something I just really feel passionate about in my art, is very inspired by nature and just, the repeated forms and the textures and how. And I loved reading about tree bathing in Japan and how, they've just started, really, the science is coming out to support the fact that we were made to be in connection to the earth and nature, and it's so easy to get stuck inside on computers. And there's certainly been more computers and Zooms with the pandemic, but there's also been people really realizing that they can't go out and do a lot of things, but they can go.
Right.
For the most part, people can go outside and just be in nature.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I love it. Oh, this is so fabulous. Thank you so much for chatting with me.
Yeah, it's been really great. It's been wonderful to get to share what I'm passionate about and have somebody that's interested and cares. It's wonderful. I really appreciate it a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I think you're fabulous.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm glad to be at a point where I'm ready to risk sharing it all.
Cool. Hang on one second. Let me... Thank you so much to Jane Boutwell for chatting with me, and to you for listening. If you want to see Jane's work, go to our website, janeboutwellstudio.com. You can also find her on social media. Thanks for listening. A big shout out to all of our sponsors who made this all possible. This is a Hotspur Media production, music by Fleslet.